saying, I want to go back and do something before you stand and we reverence the reading of God's word. Last week I got a little ahead of myself and I left a point out. And I had some ladies come to me and I told you, through this lesson, I don't want to leave nothing out. I said there was seven blessings and I only gave you six. Had seven wrote down, but only gave you six. So I want to go back and I want to give you them seven blessings in order. If you don't get this, it's going to be hard to understand all the way through the book of Revelation. You're going to have the seven blessings. You're going to have the seven candlesticks. You're going to have the seven churches of Asia Minor. You're going to have a lot of seven that's going to be taking place in the book of Revelation. And you need to get a hold of that number seven. Seven is the number of completion. It's the number of perfection that God does. On the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. Seventh, right? There's seven chords to a piano, to musical instruments. There's 7 days in a week. There is seven. Seven is completion. Seven is completion. So what I want you to do tonight, I'm going to go back over these before we read the scripture, and I want to make sure you get these if you're taking notes. And I just want to go over these. One, the first blessing is bless those who read, Revelation 1:3. Secondly, is there's a blessed rest, Revelation 14:13. Third, Revelation 16:15 is blessed he who remains, who he stays faithful, blessed is he. Revelation 19:9, there's a blessed reservation. There's a place reserved for you and I. And here's where I missed it. Revelation 26, there is a blessed resurrection. A blessed resurrection. I have a cross around my neck, a little cross. This is not our symbol of Christianity. Never get the cross messed up as a symbol of Christianity. That's not a symbol of Christianity. The symbol of Christianity is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What he did on that cross when he was buried and put in that tomb and he arose on the third day, that's when salvation came forth through the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So, resurrection is a blessing that you and I are going to receive. If we die and we have no resurrection, we stay in the ground. But we don't. We believe in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So resurrection is one. All right, let me go on. Revelation 22, verse number 7. Blessed who remembers. Who remembers. In Revelation 22, 14, there is a blessed reward. So there's the seven blessings that you'll find through the book of Revelation. There are seven blessings that you will find. When we wear this cross around our neck, in our churches, wherever you see the cross, it is pointing to Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. But when he arose from the grave, that is what saves our soul. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I don't want to leave that out tonight. I want to get that clear tonight, that the resurrection, how important it is tonight. All right, Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 4 is where we'll be at tonight. And I want to look at, ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. I want to look at the birthmark of a Christian. Did you know tonight if you're a Christian, you got a birthmark? Not only a birthright, but you have a birthmark. If I went around this room tonight, there's plenty of people here who's got birthmarks. I got a birthmark right here on my arm, but right here in this corner, I got a birthmark. There's some of you got birthmarks on your body, a birthmark, and it identifies you, and nobody else may not have one like you, but let's get with this tonight. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus of the earth unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with winds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank you for this birthmark that is on our life tonight. I thank you that we're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that he bled and died on an old rugged cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day he came forth out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And Lord, tonight when we get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, we receive a new spirit inside of us, and that is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray tonight that this birthmark is found on every one of us tonight. I pray it's alive in our life. I pray that we see it from on high tonight. I pray we see in the scripture tonight how just amazing you are. Lord, I pray for all the prayer requests that was mentioned tonight. I lift them up to you, Father. You know their names. You know their needs. And you know what kind of need they have tonight. I ask you to meet them. The ones that are sick tonight, Father, touch their bodies. The ones that have unspoken requests, touch their needs tonight as well. Lord, I'd be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. I ask you once again to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. What don't need to be saved, please take it out of me right now. And what does need to be saved, put in right now, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that I preach with understanding. I pray I preach clear. And I pray I preach exactly what you'd have me to say. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The birthmarks of a Christian. Tonight, as we get into this in verse number 4 down to verse number 8, we'll have to go back next week and pick up the same scripture to finish up. But tonight, I want to look at the birthmarks of a Christian. Last week, we studied this is what it's all about. And we went through that, but this week we're going to talk about the birthmark of a Christian. Birthmarks that are in our life that comes when you get born again and they become part of your Christianity or part of your life. Tonight, did you know this tonight, that everybody that's been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, they have a birthmark that is on their life tonight. It sticks out like nothing like you've never seen before. It sticks out. You know, there's some people that have birthmarks they want to cover up. They have them on their arms. They have them on their legs. You have seen some on side of faces. You've seen people with birthmarks. Some are ashamed of them and some are not ashamed of them. But can I say to you tonight, a birthmark of a Christian is something we should never be ashamed of tonight. Tonight, John gives to the seven churches what had been given to him by the Spirit of the Lord. Just as the seven churches received these birthmarks, so do we today. Birthmarks are special and are noticeable to the one that carries them. Let's look at some birthmarks that are found here that come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you'll look with me in verse number 4, the first birthmark that we see in the book is this. He said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you. The first birthmark that a person receives when they're born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ is the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to receive His grace before you can receive anything else. You will receive His grace and His mercy before you receive anything else. When he come to these seven churches at Asia Minor, the first thing he said this, grace be unto you. When that grace comes unto you, you'll want to show grace to the next person. You'll want to show that grace and that mercy as it's come to you. You say, preacher, what is the grace of God and how can that be a birthmark in my life? I say to you tonight, he said, grace be unto you. Number one, that is the goodness of God tonight. The grace of God is the goodness of God that is on your life tonight. That goodness of God that only comes from heaven. He said to the churches there, them seven churches, he said, grace be unto you. I thank God tonight that I attend and I have the opportunity to pastor a church that is a grace church. Our name may not be Grace, it is Union Chapel Baptist Church, but I want you to know tonight, I pray that I preach with grace. I pray I show grace. I pray everybody in these pews show grace. If you don't have time to show grace, you don't have time to be here. Hey, tonight it's by grace of God, we are what we are and who we are tonight. Can I get a witness this afternoon? He says this, that the grace be unto you or the goodness of God and the mercy of God that comes to you. You say, what is that grace tonight? I say it's the goodness of God, it's the mercy of God, but I also believe this, that the Bible teaches us that is a gift from God. When you get born again, you receive that gift immediately at salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. Look in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. This grace that comes unto you, he says tonight in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, the first birthmark of a Christian is grace tonight. God's riches at Christ's expense. We receive that tonight at the moment of salvation. Ephesians chapter number 2 in verse number 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In verse number 9, the Bible says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." I have to admit tonight, as your pastor, I have to admit this tonight, I want to receive grace as much as I can, but sometimes it's hard for me to show grace unto people that need it. You listen, I'm just telling you my heart tonight. One characteristic, one birthmark that I have in my life is the grace of God. But one thing that I understand tonight, and it's hard for me to do, is when I see somebody stumble or mess up time and time again, to show them the grace of God just as it's been given to me. You say, "Preacher, how many times do you stumble and how many times do you mess up?" Just as much as the next man does. And tonight, God keeps showing me His grace, His love unmerited tonight. It's unfavorable love tonight. It's uncomprehendable. It's not no favoritism love. It's just there. It's everywhere you turn. The love of God is there. And before He ever scolds these churches in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, He first comes with grace. Before He'll ever scold you or put you under conviction or put you under anything in your life, He'll show you that grace first. And I thank God for that tonight. I thank God for that, that He shows me His grace. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God." I see number one tonight, a birthmark of a Christian should be the grace that is in your life. If there's anything that a lost and dying world wants from you, it is the grace of God. That's what they want. That's what I want. That's what I want another brother or sister to give me, is the grace of God. What I don't deserve, but they show me love. What I don't deserve, but they show me grace. What I don't deserve, but they show me mercy. So grace be unto you. That's one birthmark of a Christian. Number two tonight, here's another birthmark of a Christian that you're going to see in the text, and that is the peace of God that is on you. Look what he says tonight in verse number 4. John, "To the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from Him which is." That peace is from Him which is, which, there's your present, which was, there's your past, and which is to come, there's your future. You got past, present, and future all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. The grace of God has always been, Brother Les, the peace of God has always been, and the only way you get that is by being born into the family of God. So tonight, I see this, and I wrote this down, and I want to share this with you. Without God's grace, there is no peace. Without, you know why the world's in a turmoil? Because there is, the grace of God is not in everybody's life. Without the grace of God, there is no peace. There is nothing but turmoil, chaos, and confusion everywhere you turn. If the grace of God would come out of my life the way that God wants it to, I would live a better life. I would live a more peaceful life if I let the grace of God flow through me the way that it should. I see tonight one birthmark that should be in my life. It should be grace. It should be grace when somebody sees me. They should say, "I tell you what, Brother BJ, he may preach the truth, but he preaches it with grace." Tonight, I want you to know this. I pray our church is known as a church that shows grace and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, "Grace be unto you and peace be unto you." Without God's grace, there is no peace. He said, "Are you sure about that tonight?" I want to show you in the Scripture two places where the peace of God is found, and it can't be without His grace. You see somebody in turmoil, you see somebody in confusion, you see somebody that can't get a hold of things, it's because, number one, they ain't never been saved, but listen, that ain't always the case. If we mess up, we want to go back and just start all over. That ain't the way Christian life works. You don't start back over. You just have to pick up, tie your boots up and get back up and go again, Brother Brent. You don't get to just start all back over and say, "Well, I was just lost is the reason I did that." Oh no, my friend. Saved people mess up too, amen? And they need the grace of God and they need the peace of God on their life. And here's where we're at tonight when we get in this text. He said, hey, he's fixing to scold these churches, by the way. Now, the Lord's fixing to pour it on them. And we one of them churches in there. We just got to figure out which one we are and get away from it. Amen? But he's fixing to let them have. But before he does, he said the grace of God and his peace can rule in your life. So tonight, if you do not have peace in your life, it's number one, that you've never been saved, or you don't let the grace of God rule in your life. You can be saved and not let that grace have complete reign over your life, complete rule over your life. So tonight, if you say, preacher, everything in my life is turmoil, I'm going to give you a way that you can get peace tonight. I'm going to give you a way that you can get peace tonight. And it's a birthmark. You've got it in your life if you're saved, if you'll just use it. If you'll just use it, it is a birthmark that you need tonight. Look with me, if you will, in the Bible to John tonight, the Gospel of John. John chapter number 14 and verse number 27 tonight. I want to show you this. Peace is found only in Christ Jesus. Peace is only found in Christ Jesus. You won't find peace nowhere else. You won't find happiness nowhere else. You won't find joy nowhere else. The things of this world will let you down. The things of this world will get old, die, and be gone. But the peace of God can be in your life every day, because peace is a birthmark of a Christian, and it only comes because you know Christ Jesus. Peace is found only in Christ, is what he's trying to tell you in the book of Revelation. John 14, 27, the Bible says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. See, the world's going to give a little bit of peace. Amen? The world's going to give you a little bit of peace for a little while. You'll get a peace for a little while, but it won't be continuous. The world will give you a little bit of peace. The world will give you a little satisfaction. The world will give you a little of what you want, but it won't give you everything you need. Look what he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he said, I'm going to leave you my peace. Peace is only found in Christ Jesus. But let me give you something else. You said, preacher, how do I know peace is part of my Christianity? How do I know it's a birthright tonight? Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Peace is not only found in Christ, but peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's fruit. It should be hanging all over us tonight. Amen. It should be. I'm talking about this. Grace should just be hanging all over you tonight. The peace of God, when the turmoil is in this world, you should be at peace. You should be able to say, it's going to be all right. Amen? Trust me, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it to the other side. Birthmark number one, there's grace. Birthmark number two, there's peace. Look what he says tonight, Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Can I say to you tonight that every born-again child of God has the fruit in their life? Okay? Spirit lives inside of you. That fruit's in there. It's up to you to let it come forth. It's up to you to let it grow. It's up to you to let it be what it needs to be. When we had this playground out here in the back of my Bible, Brother Jerry Norris made a statement in a deacon's meeting. He said, how big a fence do we need? I got it wrote in the back of my Bible. That was a message I preached one time. How big a fence do we need? The second thing was, what's going to be the playground? The rules of the playground is what the deacons talked about in that meeting. I don't know if you remember it or not, but we had a tree on the front of that playground. That tree blossomed out, and all over that tree was nothing but the fruit of the Spirit. We wanted all of our children to go inside of that playground and live by that fruit of the Spirit. We wanted them to be nice to one another, love one another, be at peace with one another. Don't fight, don't fuss, get along, self-control, don't do this. Y'all get what I'm saying? And if we want to teach that to our kids, we should want that in our own life. If we want to teach that to our kids and teach them how to be godly in Christ Jesus, we ought to want it. Look what he says tonight, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. I want to just stop right there. Love, to love your neighbor is hard. The first three, love, joy, and peace. I guarantee you tonight, if I went around this room and I say, have you had a hard time loving somebody this week? Somebody would say, boy, it's been a hard time, preacher. If I ran around this room tonight, just them three, and I ain't even getting the self-control or meekness, and I said, all right, who tonight has their joy's been depleted this week or this past year? Whose joy has just been depleted? Like everything's coming at you, and it's just been depleted. Somebody's hand would go up. Just because you're having a hard time loving, does that mean you lost? That means you're human. Just because that you having a hard time being full of joy and happy all the time, this that I do, a lot of this times I'm happy, that's a put on. I don't care, so just be happy, amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sister Megan, you're a doctor. If you go in the room and somebody's there sick and they got a problem, and you go in and you say, how are you doing? And they tell you all the problems, they ask you, how are you doing? And you start telling them all your problems, you ain't going to have very many clients very long. They're going to be like, don't go to her. She's a quack. She ain't no good. Get away from her. That ain't how it works. If I went around this room tonight, though, and I said, number one, who's had a hard time loving? You'd say, that'd be me, preacher. It's been time to be hard to love, boy. If I went around this room and I said, whose joy's been depleted? Man, you felt like you don't have no joy. Does that mean just because your joy's low or just completely gone, does that mean you're lost? No. It means you're human. That's the things of this world. He's trying to tell them here. He said, listen, this is it. I want you to know. But I went around this room and I said this, who this year lost a lot of peace? 1 minute you got peace like you ain't never seen in your life. The next minute you're in turmoil. There'd be people in this room raise their hand. They said, preacher, that's me. My peace is this. Boy, sometimes my peace ain't where it needs to be. Let me show you this tonight, what he said here. He said the birthmark of a Christian, number one, should be grace. Number two, it should be peace. But not only that, look with me, if you will, in verse number four, the third birthmark of a Christian is this. And here is where I want to just sit down for just a few moments and explain this very clearly tonight. The third birthmark that he says here in verse number four is this tonight. One is grace. Two is peace. And the only way you'll do that is by the Spirit of God being on you. Look what he said in verse number four. He says, it's just John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne and from Jesus Christ. You said, what are you talking about, seven spirits? Is this something that's demonic? No, it's something that's a blessing. He said, when God moves on your life, he gives you grace, he gives you peace, and there's ministering spirits that minister to you every day of your life. They minister you all the way through. They help you become what you need to be in Christ Jesus. Just being saved is the most important thing. We'll all agree with that in this room, amen? But to learn how to be a Christian, to learn how to be a follower, to learn how to follow Christ Jesus and to walk this life. And when you stumble up, you just get back up and keep going. Here's what he said. He said there are seven spirits there. And I want to give you this afternoon. Isaiah chapter number 11 in verse number 2. If you'll turn with me there, Isaiah has the answer to this in Isaiah chapter number 11 in verse number 2 tonight. Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 2 tonight. I want to show you this in the Word of God. Talking about the Spirit of the Lord and the number 7 tonight. And here is what he does in your life tonight. Here's what he does in the believer's life tonight. He gives you grace, he gives you peace, and he saturates you with these seven spirits of the Lord. You say, what are they, preacher? I want to slow down for you that are taking notes, and I want you to get this tonight. I want you to get this in your heart tonight, what Isaiah said here. Isaiah said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Number one, the first Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of the Lord. That's the nature of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord. That's the first thing Isaiah said. He said there's seven spirits, and the Spirit of the Lord is the nature of Jesus Christ. To take his nature upon you, to take who he is, for who he is, taking Jesus Christ. So one, when you get saved, you are born again, a birthmark is the Spirit of the Lord being on you, the nature of Jesus Christ. Right? You're to have his nature. If he's your daddy, you should look like him. If he's your daddy, you should act like him. I don't want to be too blunt tonight. But if he's your daddy, you should talk like him. There should be some characteristics if he's your daddy. You say, well, he ain't my earthly father. He trumps the earthly father. He's the heavenly father. Amen? So the more you, this birthmark, when you get saved, these may not, listen, this right here, what I'm trying to say tonight is, I'm be careful. When you get saved, don't expect all this just to be so evident in your life, okay? And if you've been saved a year and they're not real evident in your life, don't get discouraged. They're coming. They're already there. They just got to be, you're going to have to work with it. Amen? That's not even a good word, but you got to work with it. You got to read. You got to study. You got to stick with it. You got to pray. There's things you've got to do in the Word of God. And the more you stick with it, the more it's going to be a blessing. Sister Donna, I don't even know why you come to my mind. Are you different now than the first day you got saved? Yes. Are you any more saved then and that? No. You're not no more saved. You're saved is saved. But you've grown. Would you say that? For sure. For sure. For sure. For sure. Brother Les, from the day you got saved now, is there a difference? Are you saved any more from that day than that? No. The blood's the blood. The blood. Brother David Barnes, is there a difference from the first time you, when you first got born again to now? Difference. Sister Kim Robinson, y'all get what I'm saying. Brother Joey, you get what I'm saying. These come alive in your life. The seven spirits, one, the spirit of the Lord, that's the nature of Jesus Christ. Look what he says here, shall rest upon him. He'll rest upon you. And the spirit of wisdom, and here's this, the spirit of wisdom is number two of the seven. That's the ability God gives us to make right decisions. Okay, the spirit of wisdom is when you understand, you got knowledge, you understand, but it ain't worldly knowledge, it's heaven, it's from another world knowledge. When you used to slip up, when you used to mess up, when you used to. And here's what I tell folks. I had a guy one time, I'll never forget, he hadn't been saved long. He was going to church here, and he called me up, and he was squalling his eyes out. And I said, what's going on, man? What's your problem? He said, man, I just sat down at a table with a bunch of guys. We all ordered beer. I got one out. I drank half of one. And he said, I had to run out of the restaurant. Man, I'm beside myself. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. He stopped crying. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, at least you didn't drink a six-pack. He hadn't been saved 3 days. I mean, 3 days is all he'd been born again. He was still with his same old work crowd. He was still doing the same old, you get what I'm saying? But when he sat down with them, what he thought he was going to be able to do, when they sat that there with him and he opened it up, he got about half of it down, got so sick, he had to get out. He didn't want it no more. He didn't want it no more. Why? Because the Spirit of God was on him and the wisdom of God was working in his life, letting him make the right decisions. Well, I hope I'm talking to somebody. Ooh, ooh. He's talking to me. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding. You that's taking notes, the Spirit of the Lord is the nature of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of wisdom is the ability God gives us to make right decisions. And the Spirit of understanding is the ability to understand the difficult things in life. It's the ability to understand the difficult things that you used to couldn't understand. Why can't I? You don't care no more. Why can't I do what I used to do? You don't care about doing it no more. The difficult things, them difficult, when it gets difficult, he gives you the understanding to know why you don't need to do that no more, and you don't have to reason or rhyme it, you just know it. Talk to me, somebody. Yes, it's that knowledge, it's that understanding. Where before you always slipped up with it, you always messed up with it, but now that you're birthed into the family of God, now you know why not to make them bad decisions. You know why not to do that, because you've got the spirit of understanding, the ability to understand the difficult things. All right, let's go to the next one. The spirit of counsel. That's number four, the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel is the ability to give wise advice. Wise advice. Before I got born again, Brother O.J., I wouldn't give wise advice. I wouldn't give wise advice. For Kyler's birthday, Kaylee's friend, Kyler, we bought him some ramps that you load your four-wheeler in the back of your truck for his birthday. He's at the house. We gave it to him. He unwrapped it. He looked at it. He said, thank you for that. I said, well, wait a minute. 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 Right now, let's just get this out of there. I said, them ramps, when you put them in your truck, Kaylee is not on the back of that four-wheeler when you load it in the back of that truck. And when you unload it, Kaylee's not on the back of that four-wheeler when you unload it. Okay. I said, and they looked at me like I was dumb. I said, because me and Brandy's done that, and it didn't end up good. It didn't end up good. You say, what is that? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Where do you get that? You think you get that because you're smart? No. What brought that to my mind to tell that boy that? Experience, counsel, wisdom, knowledge. From who? From him. I bought a snapper lawnmower one time, traded on it. Y'all know what a snapper is? It says in the front, motor in the back. Had the same looking ramps on my truck. We got time tonight, right? I was in the back of the truck and I was going to drive it off. Brandy looked at it and she said, not good. I said, it'll be fine. She said, don't you do that. I said, baby, them ramps are holed. She said, but I think that deck's going to catch them ramps and you're going to be in trouble. I said, I got this. No wisdom, no counsel, no understanding. 21-year-old. Can I say to you tonight, there's girls in this church that need elderly women that's been through things to tell them you don't need to do that. That's not good. That won't go right. It won't work. It may think it'll work, but it won't work. There's some things if you lose at that age, you'll never get it back. Stay away from. We need some older women to tell some women that. We need some elderly men in the church that's been through it to say, hey, son, don't you go down that road. Listen to me. I've been down. It's not going to work. Stay away from it. And they say, how do you know? He said, preacher, I really don't want to know my past. Your past might save them from going down the road you went down. If you're not willing to tell it, what are you telling? You're telling your birthmark. I was on that snapper lawnmower. I got up to the edge. Brother Chad, let off that thing to go off of it. Kicked them ramps out. On the ground I went. That thing's over my back, pouring oil all over me. I'm hollering help. She said, I told you not to do it. At that moment, if you don't believe me, call her. Not tonight. She's got a migraine. If you don't believe me, you call her. I'm laying on the ground, that lawnmower on the back of my head, and we arguing if she's going to get it off of me or not. Y'all been the same way. And tonight, you may have something laid on top of you, and you're wondering who's going to get it off of you. Can I say the only way to get it off of you is Jesus Christ. Through His wisdom, through His mercy, through His grace. At that time, I didn't want to. Just get it off of me. Oh, man, let me show you this tonight. Let me show you this. We're going to keep going. The spirit of counsel, the ability to give wise advice. Look at number 5, what he says. The spirit of counsel and the spirit of might. This is another birthmark that will come on you. The spirit of might is this. It's the power to do God's will. You can want to do it all you want to do it, but if the spirit of God ain't on you, you won't do it. You can try to quit all you want to quit, but you're not going to quit if the power of God ain't on your life and His might ain't working through you. I know people have been controlled by something that long all their life, which is a cigarette. They wanted to quit all their life, and they couldn't give it up. I know people get it in the corner of their mouth, big old dip hanging in there. Been wanting to spit it out all their life, but they can't do it. Why? Because the Spirit of God ain't moving on it. You just can't throw stuff down when it's got a hold on you. There's drug addicts in here that knows what I'm talking about. You wanted to quit for your family. You wanted to quit for everybody, but you couldn't. Why? Because you ain't got the might to do it. You ain't got the power. Now, there are going to be some preachers on TV tell you, there's a great God, a little God living inside. There ain't no little God living inside of you. There's only one God. He's Jehovah. And when He comes down and He puts that mind on you, He'll break them chains in your life. Well, I feel like preaching coming up. I ain't going to do it, though. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's been things I wanted to quit. I couldn't quit until the might of God got on it, Brother Les. Then He broke them chains. Oh, my goodness. Let me just go move on. The spirit of might. Look at this. The spirit of knowledge is this. That's number 6. The spirit of knowledge is the ability to know beyond human knowledge. The spirit to know above and beyond human knowledge. Everything says it won't work. But God's done spoke to you and He says it's going to work. Everything in the world's telling you that building don't need to go up over there. Interest is up. Can I get a witness? Price of metal's up. Everything's up. And it looks hopeless. But there's a God in heaven that said, son, I got it. If I can trust Him with my salvation, I ought to be able to trust Him with a little building over here. That's not going to go to glory, by the way. Just giving that to you. The spirit of knowledge, the ability to know beyond human knowledge. The last, number 7 of the 7 spirits of God is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. If you're born again, you ought to have a little bit of fear of God inside of you. You ought to have some. Well, I don't fear Him. Ooh. That's the ability to respect and reverence God and His will on your life. That's the ability to respect and reverence God and his will on your life. This afternoon, in the first 8 verses, we have seen 7 blessings, 7 churches, 7 spirits of God right out of the gate. We should see some birthmarks on us. There should be something on you tonight. Out of what you've done seen in the first 8 verses, there ought to be some kind of birthmark all over your life tonight. Are your birthmarks noticeable? I'm going to leave you with that. Are your birthmarks noticeable? Are they noticeable? A man or woman gets saved, she or he should not be in 1 year where somebody has been saved for 15 years is. They shouldn't be. But the world we live in, the sad thing is, they are. Been saved 1 year, somebody been saved 15 years, they're a mile ahead of them. Did God show favor on them? Did God? No. Same God, same grace, same peace, same 7 spirits. They just gave free rein to the Lord in their life. I read something by Adrian Rogers today, and here's what he said. He said, as a pastor, my job is not to fill the pews. Abandon the pulpit to try to fill the pews. As your pastor, I will not abandon this desk to try to fill that pew. I will not abandon this desk and what he's called me to do to fill them pews. What good is it to have this place packed out, what everybody wants to hear in the world we live in, and abandon this sacred desk? It ain't worth nothing. Are your birthmarks noticeable? And the last thing I want to leave you with this is, please don't cover them up. They are special to God, and they should be very, very special to you. A birthmark. A birthmark. His peace, his grace, and his spirit. Them 7 spirits is on your life. Folks, I never understood how I was going to get out of the mess I was in, Brother Brad. I was saved, and I said, there's no way this is going to work. There's no way. Man, I am just too far gone. Put my faith in Christ Jesus just as you have. His grace flooded my life like never before. He gave me a peace that passes all understanding. And his spirit, his counsel, his knowledge, his might, his strength, everything about him leads my life. And my prayer tonight to you is this, that it's leading your life. Next week, we're going to talk about some more in the book of Revelation. But I want you to make sure that you have a birthright, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that is in this place tonight. I thank you for, Father, I know tonight I'm preaching to the core. I know that tonight. Lord, I look all over this room tonight, and people that's made professions to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, they've not repeated a prayer, but they've made a relationship with you, Father. They've took ownership, Father. They've repented, asked you to come into their life, and you saved their soul from a devil's hell, and I thank you for that tonight. And Lord, even though every one of us in this room struggles from time to time, your grace is still enough. Your peace is still enough, and your spirit is plentiful tonight. Lord, whoever's going through something tonight, I'd pray they just look to their birthmark tonight. Don't be ashamed of it, but take it in and enjoy it. Lord, that grace is going to be in heaven. That peace is going to be there. And your spirit's there. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Bless these people in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.